Hi, how are you? Thank you for being here. We've got some fun things planned for this week, and I'm actually in Springfield, Tennessee, not Illinois, surprising for once. And I'm here with Corinne from Bloomchick Flower Company, and this is going to be the first growers interview, first episode where there's more than just me on this shit. So I'm super excited. If you're new here, this is the Between Me and Drew podcast with me, Drew, surprise. And this is all brought to you by the cut flower industry, Clara Joy's Flowers, and a lot of cool shit that we do here. So I'm going to do a very brief intro for Corinne so you can kind of get an idea of who this fabulous person is, and then we're going to dive into the shit that we got planned. So, Corinne is a grower, very badass grower, who knows what she's doing.
Jeez, that's complimentary.
Regardless of what she tells you. She has an amazing ability to rally people who align with her, and is very, very good at that, and finding unique things and clinging on to them and making them her own and being unique in that regard. So, Corinne, do you want to say hey?
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going very well.
Okay. Tell me about yourself. Are we drunk yet?
We're definitely getting there. We're
perfect.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Wisconsin. I of cliche dairy farm. Yep.
No way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We had a dairy farm.
You grew up on a dairy farm?
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that.
So I've always loved being outside. I've always loved playing in the dirt. I always loved being filthy. So this was a natural fit for me.
How did like flowers and growing, where and when did flowers come into the picture for you?
Well, we moved to Springfield, Tennessee.
Who's we?
Lee Alexander.
Okay.
Yeah, we moved here. Chase and Tail. I chased Tail to Tennessee.
I feel like I've heard that on your Instagram before. Yeah. Oh, and if you don't follow Corinne on Instagram, you really should. I'll make sure that her handle is in the episode description. So you should do that. She's very entertaining. Very real.
Yeah. Sometimes much to the dismay of some, but that's fine.
That's too bad for them.
Yeah, they can suck it. So we moved here and it came with 7 acres to play with.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, I'm going to grow pimentos and make some badass pimento cheese with Wisconsin cheddar because the pimento is great down here, but it's like mainly like, I don't know, some subpar cheddar and like these canned pimentos. And I was like, we can do this better. So I started growing pimentos and fancy tomatoes, which I don't know if you know this, the market's flooded.
And heirloom tomatoes are cool as shit though.
They are awesome. Like grilled cheese with hummus.
Yeah.
Oh, and tomato. Oh my God. Stop it. So I also threw in some flowers that year. Everyone wanted the flowers. Nobody wanted my goddamn peppers. Nobody wanted the tomatoes. They wanted the flowers. So I just kept planting more flowers. Okay. And that is how I fell into growing flowers. Pretty accidental.
And over the years, you've learned a lot because where you're at now geographically is a lot different than where you grew up.
Oh, it's a ton different.
In the upper Midwest like we are.
Everything. The temperature, the humidity, the soil.
Pests, insects.
Everything is different, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And if you do follow Corinne on Instagram, you definitely have seen this through like the timelines as far as like planting things much, much later or not planting things at all or, you know, figuring out what works for you.
Absolutely, right? Yeah.
For sure. Very cool. So one of the things or crops that Corinne has really kind of dialed in.
Oh my God, we're going to talk about them. Oh my God.
What?
The tulips.
The tulips.
Oh my God.
Oh, the drama. I thought you were for real. I was like, is something wrong?
No. I just get really excited when we talk about tulips.
Jesus, are you wet?
Dripping.
Okay, well, this is
fantastic.
This is
going to be on Drew After Dark.
Oh, my God. Karen from Seventh Hand Farm is on the floor. On the floor. You're next, lady. Anyways.
You're next.
So, let's talk about tulips.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's turn it over to you.
Okay.
You can talk about, and then I'll interject with questions as we move through this.
So the first year I grew tulips in Tennessee, I screwed them up big time.
Okay.
Because you just have to grow them differently in the South.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get that pre-chill right, get your chill right. And I bombed. And normally when I bomb, I become obsessed with something.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else, you know, you become obsessed with it, you nail it once, and you kind of move on to the next challenge.
Yeah.
You either decide to keep it in the rotation or not. Tulips, I got dialed in better the next year, and I just got more into them. And then the next year I planted more and different varieties. And that year, the third year I did it, I actually ran out of money for compost.
Mm-hmm.
And I emailed my bulb rep basically crying because I had to stick them into straight clay. And he was like, you know they grow them in clay in Holland, right? And I was like, no, I didn't. I put them in and they were the best tulips I ever had. And I've been hooked like a junkie ever since.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So kind of like flash forward to today,
mm-hmm,
or current times. How many ballpark bulbs are you purchasing in a season?
That's a great question because bitch loves a sale.
Bitches do love a sale.
Yeah. So initially it was going to be about 5,000 for forcing,
yep,
and 25 for the field.
Yep.
And then those sales hit.
Just like they do every
year.
The
more people cancel orders, the more available they are to me. So I'm super into that. And I do not know where my final number sits right now.
Okay. So somewhere between 30 and 40?
Yeah.
Or are we north of 40?
We might be north of 40.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, total. That's, but right, that's
with all everything, the programs, yeah, and all the things, yeah, that we do.
Yeah, and it's, I'm certainly not one of the larger tulip growers.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah, there's people that do a lot more than me still. But it seems like it just seems like everyone has the same marketing and message when it comes to tulips and spring flowers in general.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, behold the bounty of spring. Spring to your door.
Ugh.
You know, all of this.
Yeah.
It all kind of sound and it felt the same. And like, I don't look at a tulip and see that. I look at a tulip and think, damn, that's a sexy beast. So
sexy beast, yes, but also a diva and a bitch who's taken months and months worth of planning and primping and caring and ordering and reserving and transporting and growing. This is not something that just happens overnight.
No.
Bounty is a fabulous selling point.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to the picture.
Oh, my God. It's like a year-round event.
Because we're already looking at orders for next year. I mean, last night we were looking at things in Holland that aren't even on availabilities yet.
Right.
On, yeah, growers' Instagram accounts. Yeah. So.
Absolutely. My main order for the field and for selling bulbs next year is already in and has been for a month.
Yeah. Perfect.
But yeah, it's getting earlier and earlier every year that you have to get your bulbs all dialed in.
And that is because?
Of the psychos. like me who are like, when's that list coming out? Send the list, get the availability,
right?
Find out, talk to your purchaser, let me know what you're getting.
Yes, like junkies like you, yes, but also they're with the influx in the industry. In order for growers to get what they want, to get what we want,
oh God, yeah,
we're relying on time but also on relationships, like
100%
relationships that we have spent years and thousands of dollars building,
yeah,
in order for even to have people take us seriously.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
this is not something that happens overnight. This is relationships that we've cultivated over the years. We're not built on, you know, 100 bulb orders.
No.
You know.
No. And I hate to say that sometimes I will use the pull that I have, but I do.
But when you're purchasing, you know, crates and crates and pallets of product at a time.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you from like a producer's perspective, clients who are, you know, reliably ordering year or season after season and who are really like putting in the effort to support us, of course we're going to do what we need to do.
100%.
Like, absolutely. Like Fields of Grace in Georgia, whenever they order from our website, of course. If they need something special, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been around, they've done the time, they spent the money. And yeah, I want to make sure they're taken care of. And, you know, brokers deal with us in a very similar manner. know? Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's also, I think sometimes people think, so something like, well, it would have been, shit, this is 2022.
2023
so,
now.
Now, yeah. Oh, my God. So I convinced my bulb dealer to track down some Belfort tulip bulbs for me.
Which, what does Belfort look like?
It is a very late double fringe. It's red. It is humongous. The buds were literally the size of a tennis ball.
Oh, my God.
But it blooms so late that I think it tanks for a lot of people unless you're willing to shade it, run the water.
Oh, because it's so hot.
Yeah. But people think, you know, you can order like 20 of them at a crack. Mm-mm. And to get someone to bring that over for you is committing to a certain number of crates.
Yeah.
And understanding you're going to help them move the rest of those crates.
Yeah.
Like come hell or high water.
It's your product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on me because I asked you to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to fucking do it though.
Right. And how many bulbs are in a crate with awnings?
Awnings is 600.
600. Okay.
Yeah. And I know the standard's like 500 for most.
Yeah. Cause Burberry's at 550, for full crate product. So I was just curious what that looked like. So.
Yeah. Awnings is six. Okay. I think the other two major or three major ones are all 500, aren't they?
I think ADR is 500.
I know Dutch Grown is.
Is 500 too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Sweet.
And Ball, are they 500?
I don't know what Edney is. Edney might be five.
I think it's five.
Yeah. I haven't ordered tulips from Edney in a very long time. So.
I think sometimes too when people look at crate prices and start freaking out, they're not taking into account the actual number in the crate.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how you're going to get the best deal.
It's for sure how you're going to get the best deal. And, you know, it kind of goes back to what I said earlier. Like, buying in that certain volume is going to put your name on your broker's map.
100, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, when you, regardless of whether you're buying from Edney or from Burby or from Awning, if they have to split that crate down into a smaller pack, you know, that's more time, that's more work that their crew has to do. It's going to cost you more money, but it's also... It's just going to show as a smaller quantity.
Right.
So, interesting.
There's also more of a chance for label mishaps.
Oh, yes.
In the smaller quantities. I have noticed that.
Yeah.
Because
it's just more hands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Interesting. Okay, cool. So, one thing that I noticed over, like, the past year or two is tulip cults.
Yeah.
You've kind of branded this.
Have I?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
I mean, you have a fucking sticker, so.
I do. I do have a sticker.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically yours. You
Working
own it
on
now.
Shirts. Yeah.
Working on shirts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Working on a whole thing.
Of course. Yeah. I love it. I'm very excited for this.
I mean.
So Tulip Cult is?
Well, it's basically our bouquet subscription.
Okay.
Program.
Okay.
But I do also sell bulbs now in fall.
Congrats.
Thanks.
Because your collections are always gorgeous.
Thank you. Absolutely. I appreciate that. And we plan on selling them again. But I think, I don't know, you just get really into something and it just becomes your thing. Then, like, the tulip cult is funny because it's just you worship the bulb, right? Whatever the bulb tells you to do. You chase down that bulb. You do what the bulb tells you to do, and hopefully it's going to pop off for you. And that's the tulip cult. That's what it is, man. Live and die by the bulb.
Oh, my God. Perfect. That's fantastic. What else are you growing here? Is there any other season that you're focusing on?
My big thing is spring, for sure. There's actually – I don't talk about the other spring stuff a whole hell of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we put in a bunch of alliums this year, a bunch of fritillaria. You know, I think you were here last year when I put in all the hellebores.
Oh, yeah.
God, I have so many daffodils. I never talk about daffodils, but we...
Let's talk about them.
Okay.
What do you like about them?
Nothing.
Why the fuck do you grow them?
Because they're cheap and easy.
True.
The thing is, and I'm always curious why people just say daffodils are perennials. Because some of them do die off.
Absolutely.
After a couple years.
Yes.
I have definitely found that. And it's not an issue of anything eating them. It's not an issue of overcrowding. They just kind of tap out.
Yeah. I do kind of think that, you know, as society has progressed and moved through, like, knowing the daffodil, we've just kind of always expected it to be, like, a super hardy thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's necessarily the case.
We have this thing down here called I think it's called daffodil freeze.
Okay.
I don't know. We get these, you know, we'll get into spring and then we get these hard freezes a couple times. And, like, one of them is a dogwood. One of them's a daffodil. I don't know.
Oh, where, like, your temperature meets a certain threshold and then that crop you lose for the year.
Yes.
Yes.
The early daffs, I will lose half of my repleats.
No shit.
Every season to that frickin' daffodil freeze or frost or whatever they call it.
Do you like replete?
No.
I don't either. I think it's too light. The petals don't hold up and they get water damage super easy.
Yeah. And I think it fades out funny.
Yeah.
Like the long...
It gets a little muddy.
Yeah. 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 I'm a huge fan of Sir Winston Churchill.
That's like a spray style, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yosemite Valley. I really like that one.
That's yellow?
No. It's just a large, double, solid,
nice,
fatty daffodil.
Okay.
I finally ordered some Irish Eyes this year, which is just like a little green one. Yeah. I've been after Prosecco, which is a peach one.
That one, did you get it?
I was supposed to have it. 3 times already. It's never showed up in the Prosecco. So, of course, I tried again this year.
So, I heard some drama over Prosecco just because, like, it's not a super hardy variety.
Right.
So, it's definitely, like, a one, and that's what you get.
All right.
So, I could be wrong with that.
Whatever they sent me 2 years ago that was supposed to be Prosecco, I mean, it's pretty basic. It's just a single cup.
Okay.
Yellow? No, it's sort of peachy throughout.
Oh, okay.
But definitely not a Prosecco.
Okay.
It's bang on.
Yeah.
I mean, I complained for sure because Prosecco's expensive.
Prosecco is expensive.
It's turned out to be a nice little daff.
Okay.
I'm not going to get mad about it, and I never would have ordered it on my own, so.
Right.
I'm pretty jacked.
Okay. So, like, spring lineup is basically things to go along with tulips.
Yeah, they're all supporting cast members.
Any foliage that you're pumping out for spring?
No, but I did put in a bunch of willows this year, which I'm really excited about.
Because you'll be able to use those budded out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of those.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because they did really well. So
yeah,
I ordered a bunch more, stuck those in fall, and we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah.
In spring, I do a lot of the all killer, no filler.
Okay.
So it'll be like tulips, daffs, whatever. Yeah, yeah. I don't find a need to cock up the bouquet with all the extra stuff in spring because people really want the flowers.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And as long as you did a good job growing your tulips, you're going to have decent stem length with foliage anyway. So
yeah.
If you're not taking
them off. I'm one of those that always leaves the leaves on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's less work you have to do, and it's going to help fill out the vase when they take the bouquet home.
Totally. I like the way the leaves fall, too. Like
when they age.
Yes.
Yes.
And they kind of, like, curl around the vase.
Yes.
As the tulip is sort of spiraling out, doing its
thing. Doing its final dance before it dies, and then it drops its petals, and it's gorgeous.
I really like that.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
For sure. Also, a disclaimer, if you hear, like, tappy-tap or squeaky toys in the background, the mutts are having a heyday. Karen is doing a fabulous job taking care of them. Thank you, Karen.
Karen, round of applause. You really are doing a great job.
Yeah, I mean, Hank is walking around with a lobster in his mouth, so.
And Karen is chasing
him. Karen is chasing Hank. This is fabulous. You're doing great. And then we have the
Ellie,
the rabbit killer, back here with us, too.
Yep.
Beautiful.
She's looking out for my bulbs. She's a good girl.
She is. She's doing her job.
She's a good girl.
Okay, so spring is primarily color. Focus on tulips. Fill out the bouquet.
Yeah.
So do we take the summer off?
Not really.
Okay.
I will probably put in, well, I love a cover crop.
Yes.
I love a cover crop.
As we should.
And I love one even more that I can use for dried work
and
fresh work. But I'm also, I'll plant some things for drying this year.
Oh, true. I forget that you're down to dry stuff.
Yeah, I do a lot of drying. So we'll try to do that again. And then I also go to the Bloom Flower Farm and harass Erica.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's what I do in my summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your preferred cover crop blend?
Ooh. Well, last year it was just a Malay mix.
Okay.
And it was all Malays that I could also use for cutting.
Are you talking about millet?
Millet. I say Malay.
Are you some like French diva?
Yeah, it's like the one thing that makes me sound smart is when I say my Malay.
God.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, I'm millet mix.
Whatever. Suck it.
So what colors did you have in your Malay mix?
I had the basic pearl Malay.
Okay.
Millet.
Yep.
And then I had, well, they call it broom corn millet in the cut flower world, but I can't remember what the actual name of it is right now. Shit.
Like switch corn?
No.
Or did it have like a variety name?
It had a, yeah, it had a variety name.
Okay. So we've got pearl millet. We've got broom corn.
Yeah. And then I also had the jade.
Oh, the little green one.
Yeah, but you can...
It's good.
Yeah, it's really good. But it's a nice dry. The cover crop, that's not what it's called. It's called something else. Interesting. Yeah, I have them all written down. Okay. I should have... I'm sorry. I didn't realize I needed notes. I didn't know this was a test.
Your what? Your...
Notes.
No, no. Your sorry?
So... Oh. Wow. Well, I just remembered Drew's from Chicago, so this is done.
I am not from Chicago. Thank you very
much. Illinois is all Chicago.
Anyway, anything east of Rockford is Chicago.
Illinois is all Chicago.
Okay, so we have...
Moving on.
So is it the three kinds of millet that we basically cut to dry?
Yes.
Okay.
I used them a lot fresh also.
Yes.
And flax was my favorite, like hands down my favorite cover crop last year.
The seed pods are gorgeous. To use
for everything.
The seed pods are gorgeous. Yeah,
and like get it at your local co-op.
Yep.
Just a huge sack of it. It's so cheap.
Yep.
Do not pay $5 a pack for that shit.
Do not.
Oh my God.
No. Yeah. Yes. Flax seed pods are fantastic. Mm-hmm. Love this them. Was our first year for millet too. I've had a 50-pound bag of seed for a couple years and then, you know, finally got that sucker direct seeded, but it's gorgeous. We use it a lot in Christmas work because we did like a pearl one. So it, as like the husk kind of pulled back, it was white. Mm-hmm. But I always have a really hard time finding red berries for Christmas because they're just so expensive. And very just hard to source. So we're going to try and tint a millet next year.
Shut up.
So that we have like a red, like a true Christmas red.
Yeah.
Thing. Well, is it going to be tinted and the hippies are going to come after me? Yes, absolutely.
Why wouldn't you just, what about tinting flax?
Sure.
God, that would be like.
Yeah.
Very berry-like. Very absolutely. Berry-like.
Yeah, for sure.
I always use it as the, like the gold element.
Yeah.
And yeah, because I like the way they dry that gold.
Yes. Yes.
But like doing red would look really nice.
And I want to try and do it as like a stain dip rather than like a spray.
Yeah.
Just because as that stain kind of settles down into the creases, you're going to get more of that natural variation look.
Yeah.
I think that'll be cool.
Yeah. That would be really cool.
So that's our trial for next year. Nice. So that's what we do over the summer. And then in the fall, we are doing two things. We're dealing with tulips. Shipping bulbs out,
mm-hmm, yeah.
And then also Christmas holiday.
Yeah, yeah. And
which somewhere your shit's gorgeous.
In between there, we do the dried stuff too. We do like a whole run of the dry goods. Yeah. Yeah. And in addition to that, selling, last year I didn't do any selling through, I did spring selling through stores.
Okay.
We'll do that again.
Right.
But the a la carte stuff, the elopements.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that really saved my ass last year.
Okay.
Because that drought
took me You had a drought down. Last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in basically June, everything dried up. We got super hot. If you would have ever told me celosia needed extra water, I would have laughed at you.
Did it die?
Oh, yeah, I lost my whole first round. I lost the whole first round of summer annuals.
Great.
Yeah, just not a good. Kick in the teeth. Yeah. But yeah, that was really, I actually thought that was really fun doing the smaller wedding work.
Do you want to talk about it or are we not talking
about
it?
No, we don't have to talk about it.
Okay, it's up to you. I don't care.
Yeah, that part we still operate like a drug dealer.
I love it. Perfect. Okay, so Christmas, your stuff is beautiful.
Thanks.
Very, very nice product. The evergreen product that you're working with is gorgeous and unique. One thing that I've learned from watching Corinne, is find the unique growers.
Oh, yeah.
Who have the really, really cool product.
Oh, yeah.
If that's your gig.
Yeah.
And we don't have to talk about who they are, but...
That's fine. I don't care.
Find them.
Yeah.
Because the product will make you stand out.
Absolutely.
Aside from the, like, amazing craftsmanship.
Yeah. And like we were talking about earlier, using greens that come from your region.
Yes. Like, which I had never thought about before.
We just stay so much... Like, this year we were a little cooler, and we had a lot of rain. But a lot of years around Christmas will be warm and sunny still down here.
Yeah.
So throwing the Fraser fir and it just
from Canada
does not hold up well here. So
yeah.
The majority of my greens come out of Florida and they hold like a boss.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to worry about them browning on someone's door, right. Like shedding early, even indoors. I mean, they hold up really well.
I was going to say you have two reeds in your home that are crispy. And
yeah, oh, they're crispy. Yeah.
They're doing beautiful.
Yeah, because I tell everyone to water them. I never water them. I've never spritzed a damn reef in my house. You out of your mind? Or on my door? Like, whatever.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, you should definitely spritz your wreath to keep it alive longer. But I do think that using greens from a climate similar to yours is super helpful.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And your mom comes and helps with wreath season.
She sure does.
She's a professional.
She had a wreath making business in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Such a babe.
Yeah. She's a little badass.
I always enjoy watching her stories whenever mom comes down.
She loves being on social media. She loves it. She's so social and loves media.
Oh my God. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. The last thing I want to talk about before we wrap this sucker up, and this could take a while.
Oh God.
I mean, this could be a little meaty. If you could unapologetically or apologetically, but I don't think that's really your style.
Sure isn't.
Say three things to a new grower that they should know or get their head out of their ass about. It would be what? And we don't have to do all three.
Number one.
Okay.
Would be stop listening to everyone on social media.
Okay.
I mean, including me, like,
because no one is you,
right?
No one is me,
right?
You got to figure your own shit out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Do your thing.
Yep.
And here's two.
Oh, are we done with number one?
Well, they go together. They go together. Dude, plant it all and figure out what the hell you like. You know, I know that it's good advice to limit what you grow, but you don't know what you like to grow until you try it.
It's very true.
You know, I have, 20 rose bushes that I went over with a tractor this year to try to get rid of them.
And you spent how many hundreds of dollars on those rose bushes?
Who cares? They were bare root. But, like, whatever. I saw everyone on social media growing roses. I thought, oh, my God, I need to grow roses. Like, you're I need right. them for bouquet work.
Yep.
So I listened to people on social media, which I shouldn't have done. But at least I tried them and figured out that I did not like them.
Right.
Instead of just, you know, flailing around.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. And we talked about this earlier today, too. But, like, just from, like, where I know that our current crop production plan is it is very, very pared down compared to what it used to be, you know. Our farm is kind of at a point where we have to focus on the things that are going to work for us. We know how to work them. Our clientele knows us for it. We don't need to be constantly recreating the wheel as far as bringing new product to the table if we know that our clientele isn't wanting it.
Right.
Or isn't needing it.
Right. And so, I sell a lot of retail.
Right.
So I'm constantly looking for the different stuff.
Yes, the different stuff, but also things that you know that you're going to be able to grow, crank out, and have success with.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
But we had this conversation with the green halo peonies last year that I got on sale. Because I was like over the moon. I was so excited to get those peonies. And you were like, well, you can sell them.
You can. You do have the clientele for it.
Yeah. And I enjoy that stuff, though. Yeah. Like, I enjoy finding the weirdo stuff and using it. Because I think, I don't know. I just... But it's different. Not everyone can do that.
I have 2 points.
Yeah.
Have they bloomed yet?
No.
I'm very curious to see what they look like.
Me too.
And I forgot what the second point was.
Okay.
Shit.
All right. All right.
It'll come eventually.
No, I'm excited. I put them in spring. I got them on sale.
Okay. Oh, just this past spring.
Yeah. So I had to run water on them during the drought.
Oh, great. Yay. Okay.
So hopefully we'll at least see a few this year.
Okay.
I'm excited for that. They were big roots. So
nice.
Yeah. I'm pumped.
Cool. Number three. This doesn't have to be filtered either.
Don't listen to everyone on social media.
Grow what you gotta grow to grow, figure out what you want. Yeah,
figure out what you like.
Let's say, hypothetically, someone texts you on Instagram and says that they're quitting their job to become a full-time flower farmer.
Well, let's roll that back.
Okay.
Yeah, it's... Oh, that's... Yeah, okay. You're gonna need a lot more of everything than you think you do.
Like...
Everything. You need to sell more bouquets than you realize you do. You need to sell more bunches than you realize you do. You need to sell more wreaths, more CSA subscriptions.
Yep.
All of it.
Yep.
I think that is the biggest lie that we are told.
Is that you can make a living on 25 bouquet subscriptions?
Yes.
Total bullshit.
Or just like the whole small, you know, the small scale with the... I'm so sorry. I know some people do it so well in their backyard and it looks great, but you will never convince me you are paying your bills like that. And I am so sorry, unless you are selling a course or the rest of your bullshit, I do not believe that you are paying your bills with 1,000 stems a week.
No. I can tell you from personal experience that if you factor in your inputs... So seed costs, plant costs, infrastructure costs, so structures. And if you're not growing in a greenhouse, you still have structure costs.
Totally.
Because you've got fabric, you've got mulches, you've got irrigation, you've got, you know, the electric to pump the water, you've got the fertilizer. You know, if you're going conventional, you've got the insecticides and the herbicides. If you're going organic, you've got the compost teas and the amendments. So all of that stuff you have to pay for.
Yeah.
Like, this is not like a Schitt's Creek thing where you just write it off. Like... You have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And that money has to come from somewhere.
Absolutely.
And if you're doing this on your own and you're going to pound yourself into the ground for the first 2 years, great. Good for you. But at some point, you will need help.
Yeah.
So you do need to factor that in as well, because people don't work for free.
No.
You have to pay people in order for them to stick around and help you.
Yes.
And those that do stick around and that you are able to take care of are going to be the ones that you need on your team. Yeah. But in order to be able to do that, you have to charge what you need to charge and be able to produce.
You have to produce it first. That's the thing.
True.
You know, it's, you see people with like one pack of 50 seeds getting all excited about starting their summer flowers. Ugh. And you're like, dude, what are you going to do with that?
Barbara,
what are you going to do with that? That's not going to produce what you think it is.
No, it's not.
It's just, it's weird. And I feel like people think I'm being negative when I'm saying that. And I'm not.
We're being real.
Yeah.
We're like, being real.
I was shocked how much I needed to put out a week.
Yeah.
To do this for a living.
Yeah.
And I was equally as shocked how much more I can make doing wedding work.
Uh-huh.
That was a real kick in the teeth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Wedding industry pricing is a lot different story.
Yeah.
A lot different story. Different expectations, different willingness to spend, different emotional impact and interest when it comes to your clientele, wanting a great product.
Yeah.
And all of those things we can charge for. And if you don't, you're the other florist in town will.
Right. Oh, totally.
So, I mean, there is no savior complex by charging less for a bridal bouquet.
No.
Because no one really cares about you.
No.
So.
100%. I 100% agree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. We've covered a lot of ground tonight.
We did.
Yes, absolutely.
This one's going to come with a parental advisory.
Well, I think when I go to launch this on...
It'll be Drew After Dark. Please let it be Drew After Dark.
No, Drew After Dark featuring Kryn.
Yes.
Okay, I gotta write that down. Drew After DK. I'll put it in code.
Yes.
Okay. Feet Kryn.
I love all of this so much.
Oh my god. Well, when I go to like put it on the internet, I can say if it's like if it's like clean.
Oh.
I'll put no.
I love this journey.
Jesus
Christ. I'm so glad we're on this journey together.
So fantastic. Okay, well, Kryn, thanks for chilling out. Thanks for being here. Thanks for letting me sleep in your house, too, by the way.
Hell yeah. Thanks for coming to visit me.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Like one of the highlights of my year.
And now Karen is recording this. Hi, Karen. She'll have her time to shine in just a little bit. So, okay. Next week, I don't know what we're talking about next week because this is not going to be running in January. Probably this summer you're going to hear this. But I'm really excited and hoping that we will be able to have more growers that we'll do interviews with on my tours and adventures. You'll get to hear some things, learn some things, and continue to make the world a better, more beautiful place to live. Enjoy your journey, share the bounty, and continue to grow a better tomorrow.
Cheers.
Such a load of shit. Have a good night, Kryn.
Have a good night, Drew.
Okay, bye guys. See you.